You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 179. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
It's been a frustrating day here. So I'm at home. I have to help my kids with their education, and I'm having a tough go. I think I've mentioned it before. I'm not a teacher. I have a hard time teaching anyone anything. I tried to teach my dad a smoke on the water on the bass.
Oh.
I couldn't do it. It's like six notes. Dum, 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 seven notes. Like, it's really not hard. And my dad knows smoke on the water in terms of tune in his head. And I still couldn't do it. So now when it comes to teaching my kids, I'm having a frustrating time because I don't know how to teach a 4- and 5-year-old how to read. Like, that's a very important life skill.
Yeah.
I couldn't teach my dad seven notes on the bass, and it's only on one chord. You don't even need to noodle around much. It's just on the one chord. Just E chord, done. Just go from there. And no, I don't know how to get them to learn how to read. It's not an easy go for me.
No, that's a tough ask. I can't imagine having to teach another human to read. Like, I struggle enough teaching college level kids how to do something that they're supposed to be majoring in. I can't imagine, like, having a small human and trying to mold them into being able to read. Like, that's, I don't envy, like, teachers who do this professionally, because I know how difficult of a job it is. And I'm sure you as a parent and many others who are going through this in the pandemic right now, I don't know how you guys are doing it.
It's not going well for me. I'm having to be like, kids, go take a break. I need to figure, because I'm getting boiled up. Like, how do you not get this? S-E-R-P-E-N is serpent. T. There's a T at the end. And they're like, great. Cool. Can I go play with my stickers? Oh, I don't even know why I'm supposed to teach them how to read. They're 4 and 5. Like, this seems too early to me. But, like, again, not a teacher. So, frustrating day for me. What about you?
Not as frustrating. It was easier work day for me today. And like I mentioned, I'm teaching college level kids, so it's not anything close to what you're going through. But it's been a good go so far in J term over here. So we are riding high. I guess, like, our Islanders a little, maybe not so much.
Yeah. They won against the Bruins at home for the first time since, I don't know, it was 2013, right? November 2nd or something like that.
Yeah, almost 8 years.
Jesus Murphy. So yeah, I guess so. We'll talk about the first three games then, kind of briefly.
Yeah, we'll get into the first three games, because it's been, well, you had one really good game, one really bad game, and then one that was okay, I guess.
I like to look at them as the Goldilocks games, right? So we've got the one that's too cold, that would be the Rangers' second game.
Agreed.
We've got one that's too hot, and I'm going to say that's like the first one. It was just, they were perfect everywhere. And then you've got the one that's just right, and that's the 1-0 win. And when I say just right, I mean, like, that's how Lula Amarola wants to win games. Just 1-0, just, they have nothing to do, that you give them nothing, and we just convert on one of our chances, we're good.
Yeah, but just so deflating to the team you beat, too.
And it's deflating to the fan base too. You're going like, this is what, oh god, oh no.
Yeah, you gotta wait around and pray for a JG Pajol goal late in the third period to to get a win.
A single line drive, hopefully that happens.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he was gonna be playing for the Mets or Yankees in the spring with that play.
Yeah, it's wild. That's what you have to wait on. You have to wait on Jean-Gabriel Pajot with a line drive from an Adam Pellick scoring chance.
This is so weird.
Right? Like, those come few and far between, just in that situation. So, anyways, yeah. So, Goldilocks set of games to start the season, which is good enough. Like, 2-1-0, it's a pretty good start to the year.
Yeah, I would say so. And obviously, like we said at the jump, the first game was probably an overachieving. Like, everything just went absolutely right. Varlamov was absolutely phenomenal. The offense was clicking on all cylinders. They converted on the power play. Like, all signs were pointing upwards for the Islanders in the first one.
Yeah, like, there were no flaws. We're not going to do a full breakdown of all these games. If you want a full breakdown of the game itself, like, head over to Patreon. We record a 30-35 minute podcast after every single New York Islanders game from here until the end of the season. We've been doing it for years now. Get your podcast there. Sign up patreon.com/eyesonisles and get in on the fun. There's over 117 now, I think, patrons. So, like, it's growing and growing fast. Join the community. Getting to that game, yes, absolutely everything went right for the New York Islanders. Nothing at all went wrong.
And then everything went wrong in game two. So, but right before the game even started, because they injured their goalie in warmups, and Barry was pissed. I love a pissed Barry Trotz. He called it unacceptable, and he was like, it was unfair to Varlamov, and we threw Sorokin under the bus, and Sorokin did not have a good NHL debut, Mitch.
No, like, that's peewee level stuff. You don't shoot high on the goalie during the warmups. Hell, don't take slap shots on the goal. I hate that so much when I'm trying to warm up for a game and they're tossing howitzers at me. Guys, if you want to do that, shoot at the boards. Don't shoot at me. I don't feel like getting injured. Like, I'll get out from the crease and my hand hurts because I've taken a slap shot to the fit, to the right to the palm. That hurts. All right, and I want to start the game with an injury, all right? Mm-hmm. Nor did Varlamov, which is exactly what happened. Come on now.
Yeah, no, it was an embarrassing moment. So obviously that was literally 10 minutes before puck drop, just about. And then they're like, yeah. Hey, Sorokin, by the way, thanks for dressing up today. We're going to put you in the game. And he did not look good. And not all of it was his fault. There were some really bad turnovers. Like, Noah Dobson did not have himself a good game. But there were, at least two that absolutely should have been stopped.
Minimum two. I don't know if we can even make a case for a third one, but definitely two, right? Both Pavel Buchnevich goals should not have gone in. Someone of his caliber should have had it. An NHL starter of any caliber should have had either of those goals.
No, exactly. The Panarin one alone, you're not. That's a tough situation. I'm not saying you got to stop
that. That's a 50-50 no matter who you are.
Exactly. But the ones that just go right through you and bad positioning on the second Buchnevich one is that was a little deflating, but he will get the benefit of the doubt. No preseason. He found out he was starting 10 minutes before. It was his first NHL start. Like, there's going to be a couple bumps in the road here, Mitch. He's not going to pitch a shutout every night.
No, like, that's going to happen. And find whatever justification you want for, like, his timing's off or whatever. He was just frazzled. He wasn't set. Is that a bad look? Yeah, because, like, we made up this guy to be, like, the next coming of Christ in the crease, and then he pitches that, and you go, like, whoops. Yeah, it was bad. That doesn't look good on someone who has that type of promise. But class is permanent. Form is temporary.
Oh, I like that.
This kid is a top-class performer, and what he put up on that first game, the first game he played, was not good, but that won't stay forever.
No, absolutely not, and I don't think we anticipate it to stay forever either because, he's too talented. He was in a really tough spot. I think both of us are giving him the benefit of doubt on this one, no?
Yes, absolutely. If you're saying, like, this kid's a bust because he has had one game, maybe you're proven right eventually, but it's not because of this one game that you're like, I knew it. Come on. No. There's no way this kid is going to be a bust. He's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. And then, as you mentioned, the Islanders in their third game, 1-0 win. And it was fairly quiet for the most part. JG Pageau, lone goal, and Varlamov was excellent. He has not allowed a goal in two games.
Which is wild, right? Like, I know there's a stat, like, he's got the longest shutout streak to start a season, which is great, but that's kind of like whatever. That's cool in and of itself, regardless of the fact that it's the longest one or not. The fact that he has two shutouts in back-to-back games, in back-to-back starts for him is fantastic. And that's exactly what you want to see from Semyon Varlamov. Rather, he was great in the playoffs, and then we're going, well, he wasn't fantastic in the regular season. He was okay for portions. Can he continue that? And if so, great. If not, well, here you go, Sorokin. But thankfully, he's good.
Yeah, no, he's been very good. He's picked up where he left off in the playoffs, which was excellent. And I think I'm not surprised that he's playing this well. Again, I'm not saying it's shutout or bust for me every night from him. But the point is, when the team was healthy last year in the playoffs and in the beginning of the year, he was a .920 save percentage goalie, so the fact that he looks good early on isn't surprising to me.
So do you think, and this is kind of getting away from the games a little bit, we heard in Sorokin's first start, at least Brandon Burke was saying this, that Varley was supposed to get 60%, whereas Sorokin should have got 40%. And maybe that changes at that point because we didn't know how severe the injury was to Varlamov. It was not. He was back the next one. Do you think Sorokin's performance and Varlamov's subsequent, you know, backup, back-to-back shutout, does that change the kind of algorithm?
That's a good question. I feel I'm going to take the middleman Mitch stance on this one and say I see both sides on this one, to be honest with you, because a part of me is saying, no, don't overreact to a 3-game sample size. But at the same time, you're only playing a 56-game season. And if you have a hot goalie, I feel like you got to ride that for as long as you can. So I'm going to take myself off the fence. I'm going to go with ride Varlamov for as long as he can.
I think they're going to have to do it. It's not that it's Sorokin is no longer any good. It's that he being Varlamov, is going to play until he puts a bad performance in, or the team puts a bad performance, or there's a back-to-back on the schedule, right? Like, you don't want to, with the rate that these games are coming, you don't want to have him play back-to-back nights. That would be ridiculous. Also, because it's Sorokin and Nets, like, he's going to have a good outing at some point. I imagine they stick to the 60-40. I don't think this changes anything for them. But if Varlamov keeps playing this way, there's no reason to put Sorokin in net.
No, of course. And you gotta play your best players. And, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there. But I would imagine they're going to ride Varlamov for as long as they can until, like you said, until it stops working.
Yeah, and like they don't have a back-to-back until the 30th, 31st against Philly on the road. So I imagine Sorokin plays in one of those games.
Yeah, probably. That's probably a fair estimate.
So I think that's the soonest or the latest we're going to see Sorokin is on, let's say, the 31st.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair. That's a fair guess. Unless something, like we said, catastrophic happens. Like if he has a 4-goals-allowed game with a sub-900 save percentage, then yeah, maybe you're getting Sorokin for a start after that.
Yeah, and we're not talking about like coming in as a replacement. This is a start, right? Yeah. Like on the 31st, I think, is his latest start.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure.
Perfect. Yeah, so that was the 3 games. Like it was good, but we'll see going forward. Now they play the Devils in back-to-back nights. Well, not back-to-back nights, sorry. 21st and 24th, which should be... I don't know. I don't know how to take the Devils right now.
Yeah, I don't know how to take them either. Jack Hughes does look a lot better, though, so I'll give him that.
That's true. And then the Caps, we'll see what happens with them. Like, half of their team is in COVID, or COVID protocol.
Unbelievable. So with that, let's get to our next subject, Mitch, which is, you know, kind of piggybacking off of these games a little bit. We want to talk about some ice times in particular and some taxi squad moves. So to us, I think the biggest thing that stuck out, and we talked about it a lot in the post game after the third game, was the third line. And J.G. Pageau got a ton of ice time in the Islanders' win. He played over 20 minutes, which was expected because of how good he was playing, and he played a ton of roles. He was centering that third line. He was taking some faceoffs on the fourth line, and then he was playing next to Barzal. But his two wingers did not get a lot of ice time. Both Kiefer Bellows and Ross Johnston played under 7 minutes. So what do we do with that line? That's what, and I kind of wrote about it. I was like, we can't keep running Ross Johnston out here. We can't do it because he's only playing 6-7 minutes a night. He's giving you 4 hits. He's not going to give you any offense. Like, why are we doing this? And people did not like that. There was a lot of people were coming back and saying, got to give them time to gel. There is no preseason, blah, 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 blah. So I wanted to get your take on that and see where we are in terms of figuring out that line.
So people came back and said, like, we got to give Ross Johnston more time.
More time, yeah.
What? Like, it's clear Barry Trotz doesn't want to play this guy very much. This guy's career has been pigeonholed for good or bad reasons. He may have redeeming qualities on the ice. He's clearly a great guy to have in the room. But like Barry Trotz doesn't play this guy more than 6 minutes. He hit 13 minutes once, didn't he, last year? Because he played with Matthew Barzal because he was trying to make a point, he being Barry Trotz, that is.
Did he? I don't even remember him hitting 13.
I'm just pulling it up now to see. He had three nights in a row, so December 5th, 7th, and 9th, where he played 1258, 1239, and 1213.
Huh.
That was the most he had that season.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. He scored a goal in one of those nights.
That'll do it.
That's the only point he put up on all three. But like, it's just that's Russ. He plays 6 to 7 minutes, maybe 6 to 9 minutes a night. That's his role. We have another guy on the team who already does that. Matt Martin.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. You're preaching to the choir here, Mitch.
Yeah,
on this
I
one.
Know. But like,
it's and that's what I say in the piece too. Like, it's a redundant role, and I don't know why you want to give that on the third line. And that's not like, you can't even really consider that the third line because they're not getting enough minutes. Like, the fourth line is really the third line because they're getting the third most minutes.
It really is. Like, these are your extras. Your extras are Kiefer Bellows and Ross Johnston. I keep wanting to say Rost. I don't know why.
The extra T
Ross
throws you off.
Johnston. Yeah, it's really screwing me up. I'm adding a T before the first name. It's not to say that he's not a good hockey player and he doesn't belong in the NHL. It's just, when you have Matt Martin and Ross Johnston, take your pick. Whichever one. And even then, Barry Trotz doesn't seem keen on either of them because he played Matt Martin 7.5 minutes the other night.
Yeah, I would say pick one. I think Matt Martin's game is a little bit more well-rounded, so I would lean that way. But really, at that point, you can flip-flop them. Like, have one as a healthy scratch and have one in the lineup, and you could keep them both fresh by doing that. Like, I don't know.
Right, like, there's a clear argument to be made that Matt Martin has chemistry with Casey Zekas and Cal Clutterbuck. Cool. Let's not break that up then. All right. Well, now you have Ross Johnston there. To do what? To police the ice? Oh, okay, fine, I suppose. And no one's taken any cheap shots in the first three games, so technically it's working, right? Technically, I guess. But, like, has it helped us be effective? What has Ross Johnston given the Islanders? And this isn't necessarily fair because it feels like I don't like Ross Johnston or we don't like Ross Johnston.
That's not
the case. It's like you said, these are redundant roles, and this redundancy is kind of hurting the team in a way where those minutes aren't being allocated, in my opinion, adequately. And of course, Barry Trotz has two Jack Adams trophies as coach of the year. So, like, he clearly knows what he's doing. Also, the Stanley Cup hanging in his house at some point or somewhere. But, like, you can't keep going with three guys of your 12 playing under 8 minutes. It's just not, it's not feasible. It's not sustainable.
No, exactly. And I think that's the point we're trying to make. So that, to me, is one of the more glaring things that has stuck out with the ice time. And nothing else really, like, I know in the second game, Noah Dobson didn't really play too much, but to be fair, he did have an awful performance that night. So I don't think either of us were too worked up about him not getting the 20 minutes like he got in the first game of the year.
No, he didn't deserve any ice time. He deserved none, right? Like, that's a game where if you could, you would bench and you play someone out of position, but you can't, especially in a defensive system like Trotz. You have to roll with him. And you have to, like, let him learn, but, like, Matthew Barzal was benched a few times, and that's what happens, right? Like, you don't get rid of all the ice time, you get rid of some. Like, you didn't get 20, you got 15. That's going to sting.
Yeah, no, exactly. But that's definitely one of the things that stuck out to me, at least with the ice times. Was there any other ice times that you've picked up on that you wanted to get into from the first three games?
Well, specifically Kiefer Bellows.
Okay.
Have you seen his ice time over the last three games from first, second, and third?
Well, we know it was like 6:35, I think, the last time. But in the first game, I think, what was it, like 12 minutes maybe?
Yep.
Okay.
And you know what it was in the third game or second game?
What?
7.5 minutes.
Okay, so it's...
What does that tell you?
That he's going to be out of the lineup, and he was moved to the taxi squad today, but he's gone.
Exactly, right? So at first I was surprised that Kiefer Bellows went to the taxi squad, but then when I went to look at his playing time, I went, clearly Barry Trotz is like, I don't trust you enough to play you. And then with the diminishing time, that's a clear sign from Barry Trotz that you're out in the next one. Right, like, we saw that with Oliver Wallstrom last year and Kiefer Bellows again last year. Like, it's just, that's his MO.
I was going to say, you forgot one. I was going to add one more. Otto Koivula.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
There was a game, I could be wrong, but I feel like there was a game, the last one, that Otto Cuevla got like 5.5 minutes. I was like, why is he even playing? It's like something preposterous, if I remember correctly. It was like a really low number, but those three were the ones that stuck out to me in terms of like their final game, like they were barely touching the ice.
Oh man. Okay, so Otto Cuevla has 426 on December 2nd. And he played after that. He didn't play again until January 14th. Yeah, 4 minutes and 26 seconds against Detroit. Like, you know, play him. It's Detroit. Yeah, and then he plays Detroit. He played Detroit three nights in a row. But he went from 426 to 1339. And the very next game he played. And then he went 10 minutes, 5.5 minutes, 732, 605.
Yeah, there you go.
So like it was like, oh, no. Like when you see that diminishing time, like that gradual like removing of time, the natural next step is you're off. Like 6 minutes and then you're off. That's it. You're not playing anymore.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Which is strange in a way, because you're going, well, then who are you going to play? Michael Del Cole? All right. Did Kiefer Bellis not give you a better Michael Del Cole performance?
I would say yes. Michael Del Cole is expected to come off of IR soon. So I'm assuming that he would get a good shot. I would also assume Leo Komarov at some point gets a shot. Not necessarily excited about either one of those guys, because just because we've seen a lot of them over the last 2 years and we kind of know what they are. I don't know. You know how I feel about it. I would rather see Bellows and Wahlstrom get their chance, but I don't anticipate that happening.
No, like, well... Well, he might. One of them might now with Josh Bailey getting on the COVID protocol list.
Good call.
That opens a spot because even with Michael Del Cole there. So Josh Bailey on the COVID protocol list as of today, which opens a top six spot on the right. Right?
Come on, Wahlstrom.
Who does that tell?
Please.
Come on, right? There's no better time than this.
I know. And it'd be perfect too, because you'd be playing him with Bo and Nelson.
Like, sorry, it sounds like I'm happy that Josh Bailey potentially has COVID.
No.
I'm very much not. I would rather have not rather, but like, I want Josh Bailey in the lineup
and healthy, of course.
I would prefer him on the third line, but like, I'm fine with him sticking on the second. But if the silver lining here is that, you know, Josh Bailey doesn't actually get sick and is able to like take a couple of nights off and maybe recoup with whatever's going on, and Wahlstrom gets ice time, this is great.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing too, as you mentioned, it's a top six role. It's not like, hey, a spot opened up on the right. Unfortunately, Cal Clutterbuck went down and good luck. You're going to be playing with Matt Martin and Casey Cizikas on the fourth line. Like, it's, hey, we anticipate you being a top six player for us in the future, which I don't think is unrealistic based on where they took him and his draft stock and his goal scoring ability. Like, let's see what he could do with, maybe you don't give him 18 minutes, but can he get 15? Like, is that too much to ask for?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. In a very Trotz world. I don't believe it's too much, but evidence tells me that's too much.
I know. But in like, if he's going to play with those two, wouldn't you want to give him a fair shake? That's my.
Yeah. And the next two games are against the New Jersey Devils. Like, this is the perfect time. The Devils take a crap ton of penalties. A crap ton. Well, I don't know if it's actually a crap ton. When I watched them play the other day, they were taking penalties left, right, and center. Mm-hmm. And the last time they played the Islanders, they were taking penalties left, right, and center. They're a more undisciplined team last year without Lindy Ruff behind the bench. But I'm just looking it up now to see if I'm right in my, call from the hip in terms of power play opportunities. No, power play. Oh, God. How do I want to do this? Penalties. There we go.
That's okay.
Penalties taken. They're not. The penalties taken. Wow, the Islanders are up there with 18. Woof. That's rough. The Devils aren't very undisciplined. So, whoa. But it's only three games. That could change.
That's okay, Mitch. That's all right. I won't hold you to that one.
Yeah, they have 15 penalties taken, 11th, you know, over their four games. So.
All right.
But this is the perfect time. Top six spot open for what could be a couple of days. We don't know why Josh Bailey's on the COVID protocol list. It could be one of like basically two reasons. He either has it or came into contact with someone who has it. And by has it, I mean he tested positive either asymptomatically or symptomatically.
Of course, that's entirely possible. It is. And, you know, the NHL has to do what they have to do to keep this, the team and the player and everybody safe. So I completely understand. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Josh Bailey. We're obviously wishing him the best.
Yeah, so the earliest he might be back for the Islanders is on Saturday, on the 23rd. So based on how this works for a COVID protocol list, assuming assuming it's a positive test, either symptomatically or asymptomatically, if he tested positive asymptomatically, he now has to get a confirmatory test done. If that comes back negative, he needs to take a second test after the confirmatory test 24 hours later. If that comes back negative, he then needs to take a third test 24 hours later. And if that one comes back negative, he can leave isolation. So the soonest he can come back is on Saturday, assuming that the positive test was today.
Right. Okay. So best case scenario, he's back for Saturday, which would be what? That would just be missing one game, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So yeah, it's a wait and see game with that, but something to take note of for sure.
Right. But it's the perfect time to get Oliver Wahlstrom in the lineup. It's the right spot. It's against a not low-level opposition, but an opposition that you should be winning and you should be able to generate chances against for a guy who you're looking to integrate into the lineup with what I've been told by Barry Trotz is a world-class shot.
Yes, that's out of the horse's mouth. He said that.
Exactly, right? So, like, let's go. What are we waiting for?
I know. Anything else with the taxi squad that we want to get into?
It's large, right? Hickey's, Bellows, Wahlstrom, Timoshov, Koivula, Zarnik. So Timoshov was brought back up from the minors, although they're not playing. So he was brought into the squad on the taxi squad. So there's six guys now. It's full. There's no goalie, but that's fine because they have three goalies on the roster.
Exactly, with Schneider around. Do we think he dresses, or is this just we don't want to risk waving him and someone picking him up?
This is a Garstenot situation. We don't want to risk losing him. Although with Aaron Dell passing through waivers, maybe they don't have to worry so much.
Yeah, I would think so, right? That was a little surprising that he didn't get claimed.
Yeah, and I know like people say, well, Corey Schneider is a better pedigree. Over his career, sure, but not recently.
Exactly, not recently at all. Good point.
Which matters to someone trying to win today. Although, if Edmonton had a shot, they would. Although, no, because he's in the States. He'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks in Canada. What the hell's the point?
Oh, that's a really good point. I didn't even think of it like that, but the Canadian team, or going from an American team to a Canadian team, or a Canadian team to an American team, could make a huge difference.
Yeah, there's a quarantine period. In Canada, I believe it's a two-week, 14-day period. In the U.S., I believe it's 10 days, and based off of states' health authorities. But I believe in Canada, it's 14.
Okay. Interesting. Good to know, though.
So, yeah, things to consider. That's a lot.
Absolutely. So, shall we get to down on the farm, then?
Yes. Okay. So, I don't want to report on every single player in the prospect pipeline, because there's not always a whole lot to do, and there's a lot on the reserve list, plus guys that are signed. So, I boiled it down to four. Stuff that I have on four new guys, or not okay. New guys. New information on four guys. First, Matias Rajaniemi, who was drafted sixth round by the Islanders this year. As we all know, he won a bronze medal with Finland and is now back in Finland playing for the Lahti Pelicans. I think I pronounced that incorrectly. The Pelicans I pronounced correctly. I'm not sure about the Lahti part. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he's on a three-game point streak.
We like that. These are things we like to see. Three games, okay.
This is a 6'4", 200-plus-pound defenseman. Not what you would consider necessarily an offensive guy, but he's putting up points and his minutes are steadily rising. Like, he played 19 minutes the other day and now he's averaging somewhere around 13, 14 minutes a night, which is up from the 9 he was playing before he left for that World Junior Championship.
Exactly.
So good things there. And he's playing against men. Like, this is a men's league. He's playing in Liga, the SM Liga. That's the top Finnish league. I don't imagine he finishes. He might finish his career there, but like with the transfer window open, although like COVID kind of screws things up with the transfer window in Europe, as we just talked about with Schneider, like I could see another team coming in to try to pluck him and play at a, maybe at the SHL level.
Okay. Interesting. That's obviously, we're going to have to keep a close eye on that one as the season goes on.
Yeah. He's a young guy, right? Like he just turned 18 in September. So like he's got a while to go. This isn't going to be a guy who's going to be here tomorrow. I don't think.
No.
I don't imagine the Islanders bring him in with the pipeline on defense that they've got, but interesting things going with a sixth round pick.
Exactly. And like you said, he's a sixth rounder. He's only 18. So they'll take that slow.
Yeah. Next, Alexander Ljungkrantz. So that's the third rounder from this year. He's putting up points too, but he's not playing for Brynäs technically anymore. He was sent out on loan to Stromsbro of the Hockey Etan League. So that's the third tier.
Okay.
So you have the SHL, Allsvenskan, and the Hockey Etan League. He's now on 5 points in five games. He put up a goal and he assists tonight with Stromsbro. Not tonight, but today. Stromsbro won 8-2, and they're now sitting atop of their division in first place.
That's good.
I tweeted it out earlier, but like he, because he's on loan, he can flip between Brynäs and Stromsbro, like at a whim's notice. He was suiting up and on the bench. He had suited up and was on the bench for Brynäs yesterday.
Okay. And then he was played for Stromsbro today?
Yeah. So he was sitting on the, he didn't play, but he was there available to play on the bench for Brynäs. And then he traveled. So Stromsbro plays in the same town as Brynäs does, called Gävle. But Stromsbro was on the road to Alandra, I think is the team name. Anyways, they play an hour and a half away. Ooh. Which isn't a long way, but like the kids still had to suit up, practice, and play with Brynäs, and then suit up and head out with Stromsbro not 24 hours later.
Yeah, it's not easy.
And then he's playing top line minutes, so I don't have a minute time because the guy that gives me my information isn't allowed to travel with the team for COVID reasons. So he doesn't have an accounting of time, but he's playing he was on the top line. So you can imagine he's playing 15 plus minutes without counting power play.
No, exactly. That's a great point. Yeah. So he's getting significant ice time and putting up points. That's great.
Yeah. And flipping between the SHL third tier, and that third tier team has aspirations to make it to the second tier. And like they can get promoted if they do well. So like this kid is playing and he's playing hard. And this is a third round pick. Again, not a fancy third round pick, but he's putting up points. He's doing everything you want him to do.
Okay, good.
Next is Henrik Tikkanen. So that's a seventh round pick from this year, is on loan. So he went out on loan to Kalpa in the SM Liga. He was playing for IPK in the Messis League. So that's their second tier. So he's now moved up to the first tier. He's a backup goalie though, right? They brought him in to be the backup, but they have back-to-back games on the 22nd and 23rd. So we'll likely see him play at the SM Liga level within the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Okay, that's good.
So this is the big 6'8 goalie that they drafted in the seventh round for those keeping track.
Yes, we are a fan of the big goalie. And they sent you a little video package on him, no?
They did. They told me they were going to prep that a while ago, and I totally forgot because this was like a month or two ago. And finally, they sent it to me, and they packaged a bunch of saves together. They have him strumming a guitar where they don't know where he got that guitar from. They have no idea. First off, it's on the wrong hand and the strings are all broken, but like he found it somewhere.
That's amazing. I love that they are like, they're just sending you this stuff now too. Like that's how entrenched we are in this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's like, here, we did this whole prep thing for you. It's fantastic. Good quality. So check it out. It's on the Twitter. It's on the Facebook. And last one, Josh Hosang. I think we all know who he is. Yeah, exactly. He's on loan as well. To Orbro. So we know that team because Robin Salo plays there. He's there. He's suited up. He's not ready to play yet. From what I'm told, it's a paper issue.
Okay.
So I imagine it's a work visa. Now, I don't have that confirmation, but when I kind of tweeted it out, his agent liked it. So I would imagine that that's kind of like nudge, nudge, wink, wink. That's what's going on.
Yeah, good point. That's kind of it's confirmation without actual confirmation. It's pretty damn close.
Exactly. Let's not say it's exactly that, but it's definitely not like, oh, we brought this guy in and we don't like his attitude. No, no, that's not the case. And if you believe that, relax.
Exactly. It's not.
He's going to have a good go. They like him. That's why they brought him in. They think he can be a dangerous and offensive player for them. I would expect he plays top 6 minutes easily.
Yeah, I would think so. And I would anticipate him putting up points. He did at the AHL level. Why can't he do it over there?
Exactly. So like, I'm not going to say he's going to dominate, but I would expect he plays well. It might take him a little while because he still has to get used to the larger ice surface, which is a thing in Sweden that isn't a thing for Ilya Sorokin. He played on smaller ice surfaces in the KHL, but Sweden has the big Olympic size rinks, right? So like, that's going to be an adjustment for him. Although like someone with his skill set, this should be perfect for him.
Right. He's going to go off more room to work with.
Exactly. So, and he said it himself, you're going to like a lot of parts of my game. Maybe not all of it. His words.
I love that kid.
Right? Like just says it as it is. And I love it. I love it. They're going to love him there. I hope.
Yeah, I think so too. Absolutely. So, okay. Good notes for the farm system. Like to hear that.
Yeah. So far, so good. Good things going on in the system, including draft picks made this year that a lot of people poo-pooed on.
Absolutely. Shall we get into the quiz, Mitch?
Yes. So it's episode 179, but I didn't do my homework well, I suppose. So I pulled up someone who played 178 games for the Islanders, Matt.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Darn.
Hopefully it's not the same person as last week, is it?
I don't think so. I hope not, because these are five different clues.
Okay.
All right. So, Matt, are you ready? I assume you are.
Yeah, let's do it.
For those who aren't aware of what the game is, I give Matt five clues to guess a former New York or current New York Islander player, and the guesses or the clues become progressively easier as we go along. Matt, you're ready? First clue, I was an undrafted defenseman from Sanbornville, New Hampshire.
Next.
Two, I played for BU, Boston University, before making the NHL.
Kiefer Bellows.
No, but good call. Ish. Three, I was traded to the Isles as part of the Alexei Zhitnik trade.
I have no idea. Next.
That's fine. I don't know if you're going to get this guy, but like I feel you'll get him by five. Four, I was claimed off waivers by Phoenix on October 8th, 2007. So the Islanders put him on waivers October 8th, 2007. And reclaimed on entry by the Isles on November 10th.
I don't know.
I just thought that was wild that because he came back up through re-entry waivers and like, yep, we'll take that guy back. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, I guess.
Freddie Adu might be my favorite soccer player, and I probably love Oscar Mayer wieners.
Freddie Mayer?
Yay! How did you know?
By the way, fun fact,
yeah. Yes.
Freddie Adu, one of the rare soccer players that I know. Big early 2000s Freddie Adu guy.
I was so hyped for him, and nothing really came of it.
Yeah, what happened? He like fell off the face of the earth, that guy.
Right? Like, didn't he go to England or something like that? And then he just, I have to look it up now.
I don't know. I remember being a really young kid and him being like the most hyped person. Like, I'm not a soccer fan, but I knew who Freddie Adu was as a kid. But I don't think anything ever really happened.
No, I know he went somewhere. Well, he went to Portugal, France, Greece, and then came back to the U.S., played in Finland. Oof. And then back to the NSAL. And then 2018 was the last one he went to. So, yeah, nothing big. He went to Benfica, played 11 games, started none of them. Oof, that's not a good stat line.
Poor guy. All right, let's get into the social stuff, Mitch. What's going around on Isles Twitter this week?
A lot because of the games, but I'm bringing this one up here. It's from Bathtub Jake, and it says Barzy goal, best goal Barzy's ever scored, and it was a picture of him dangling, about to dangle Tony D'Angelo, and then the picture below that, so it's a cut of two pictures, and it's Tony D'Angelo all caps saying, stop the count.
I wonder what that's in reference to.
I wonder, yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
That's funny. My first one comes from Josh Hosang on Instagram. He says, so excited to finally play some hockey. Thank you so much to the New York Islanders for setting this up and to Orebro Hockey for accepting me into their family, hoping to make the most of this opportunity. What I'm interested in is the little part where it says the New York Islanders setting it up. What's that about, Mitch?
They don't want him around. I think that's clear, right? I think we both agree to that.
Agree, but if that, yes, my rebuttal would be then why are they seeking out opportunities for him? Why wouldn't they just tell him to go screw? Not that that's the right thing to do, but I would figure that's what they would have done.
That should have been the right thing to do, right? Like, we don't want you. Just go. Let's split up. Yeah, we can maybe try to hold you around and get something for you, which is what they're doing. But the right thing to do would have been like Robin Leonard in Buffalo, right? They didn't have to. They could have qualified him and then worked the trade. But they're like, no, we're going to make this easy. We're not going to qualify you. Do you think they're shooting themselves in the foot now? Maybe, but they did the right thing, so they shouldn't feel bad about it. They really did.
Yeah. No, they did do the right thing. Buffalo, of course.
Like, this isn't the same situation exactly, but this is clearly where something needs to change. They both need a change of scenery. Well, I guess Josh was saying he's the only one who's going to change the scenery. Mm-hmm. And to do that, they should have just let him go. Let him go, let him become a free agent, and let him go somewhere else. Does he perform well somewhere else? Cool. If so, great. If not, you know, whatever. You let him go for free. But this is the Islanders just saying, we don't want you around.
Yeah, which is, I guess, good in a way and not at the same time. I don't know.
At least they let him play somewhere instead of just like stay at home, right? That helps no one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what was he doing last year when he wasn't able to report to the AHL?
Right. It was him, right? Like, sorry, it wasn't him. It was Lou saying, stay home. I don't want to hear anyone else say, like, well, he didn't report. No, Lou said, stay home. Well, he asked for a trade. No, he didn't. He asked for a trade the year before that. The year before. And Lou didn't do it. So, yeah, now Lou, like, anyways, this is the right thing where we are today. Forgetting what happened before, where we are today, this is the right thing for the New York Islanders to do. Let him play somewhere where he's going to put up points and he can showcase his talents, and then you can work something out where someone could be like, all right, I'll bite.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. What else you got?
This one is from LR99 Gaming, and it's not necessarily about him specifically. I just brought this up because he mentioned something.
Okay.
So he says, let's go over the Keith Yandel situation on the Florida Panthers side of things, from how his Iron Man streak was in jeopardy, but how he prevailed. However, we're also discussing the rumor of a three-way trade with the Bruins and the Isles. Now, again, I haven't looked at his three-way trade because that's not necessarily what I want to talk about, and it's not about LR99, it's about the idea that Keith Yandel, because he's not the first one to bring this up, that the Islanders were somehow interested in Keith Yandel, which is banana lands to me.
I would tend to agree. I don't see how they make that work.
They already have one. They have Nick Leddy, who's younger and cheaper. Why would they bring in Keith Yandel?
I don't know. I don't see the fit.
It that's right. It doesn't. Unless, is he a right-hander?
No.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure he's a lefty.
No, he's a lefty.
It doesn't make sense. Like, this never made any sense to anyone. So, like, get clicks. I'm okay with that. Like, if someone says, like, maybe there's a fit there, you run with it. Of course, we would do the same thing here. It struck me as odd that this was such a popular rumor. Like, oh, yeah, Keith Yandel to the Islanders makes sense. No, it does not. No, it does not.
No.
Now, does the three-way where he ends up in Boston? Yes, of course. You know, maybe transferring through the Islanders, who can pick something from Boston. All right, cool. I don't know what they would take from Boston. Like, they're already depleted as it is. So, like, unless they're willing to give up Andre Case, who's injured, there's nothing in there for us.
No, exactly. So I'm with you on that. I don't see a fit there. I really don't.
No.
My next one comes from a character at TLO Mitch.
And
he says, me waiting for the Isles to let the kids play. And it's the Bernie Sanders meme from today at the inauguration where he's sitting there looking very cold, all folded up with his mittens. Very funny, very topical. One, because I agree with you, I would love to see the kids play. And I'm obsessed with this meme. I love all the different things that I've been seeing with the Bernie Sanders sitting there all folded up waiting for something to happen.
It's great. And he's like that the entire time. My wife and I watched, I forget her name now and I feel bad about it. She read that poem during the inauguration.
Yeah, I can't remember her name either, but
Amanda. Sorry. That's yes. All I remember. Anyways, it was fantastic. And anyway, throughout the whole thing, he's also just there like, I got things to do. This is a great poem, but I got, you know.
Amanda Gorman, by the way.
Amanda Gorman. I got a Green Deal and minimum wage bills to pass. Just looking, not mad, but just kind of like, I'm here. I want to be here, but like, I've got a list of things that I need to get done. Let's get to work.
The best meme I saw, not Islanders related, but to that picture was, this could have been an email with that. It's just perfect.
It is. Because that's all of us. We can all relate to that. Where you're sitting in an email going like, what the hell am I doing here? This could have been an email.
Yeah. Yep. Oh my God. So I wanted to share that one. Anything else from you?
My last one here comes from a friend of mine. I think we all know who Mikey CLT is.
Yes.
He runs the Isles Meetup CLT. He also runs Bar Down Breakdown. It's an alt hockey or alt music and hockey podcast. Anyways, they're recording their 100th episode. So he just wanted to tell me to, they're going to have Derek from State Champs on the podcast.
Ooh, okay.
Big fan of State Champs. Favorite song, Secrets from Around the World. Love that song. It reminds me of driving to Long Island. I have a pop punk mix that I play whenever I drive up to Long Island, and that song is on there more than once.
I love that, and I love that it's pop punk music to come to Long Island. That's very fitting.
It's just as soon as I hear that song or I hear Real Friends, it's just boom. I'm in Long Island. I feel it. I can smell it. I don't know what the smell is, but it's something like in my brain. It's weird.
Perfect.
So yeah, Bar Down Breakdown, 100th podcast on, I believe it's the 27th. Yes, January 27th.
Oh, next
so
week.
Look out for that. Yep.
That's great. All right, so that's going to do it for us on this episode. Before we go, let's get a couple of plugs in here. So wherever you are listening to the show, if you could please give a subscribe, a rating, a review. That really helps us out. We appreciate all the love and support from each and every one of you. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is at Matt O'Leary NY and Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You could download our app available for both iPhone and Android. You could also visit the website EyesOnIsles.com. And last but not least, you could check out the Patreon, Patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. You get post-game shows. You get a mailbag show, which we'll record after this. You get a live stream with Mitch. You get a newscast and a whole bunch of other daily content over there, all for $5 a month. Absolutely worth your while. Couldn't have said, I was hoping you'd give me something.
There's always something going on the Patreon. Always. Either I put up something like a question. So the other day is like, what would you do on the third line? There's a podcast going up today. It's the mailbag. We have 15 different questions to get to, Matt, on the mailbag. And it's fantastic. There's 117 people on there. That's incredible. If you're a patron listening to this, thank you. If you're not, get in on the fun because you're missing out hard.
Absolutely. That'll do it for us on episode 179. I'm Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson. And we'll talk to you next time.